Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, it's the last day of the week of our discussions of different therapeutic approaches. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk about group therapy.
Right. A little bit different approach here.
It is, because it's not a specific perspective. It's not a different therapeutic model, per se. This is an approach to therapy that could draw from some of these different therapeutic theoretical systems.
In fact, when we teach group therapy, we talk about, or we ask the students to develop the group around a particular theoretical perspective. Mm-hmm. So they might, depending on the topic of the group, they might use a humanistic approach or a behavioral approach or a cognitive approach. So they're
not as likely to use a psychoanalytic approach just because of the nature of the way we think about psychoanalysis.
Right.
But there's others, absolutely.
Right. So we use the different theoretical approaches to organize the group.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when we think about the benefits of group therapy, there are many. One is, it's a group. So within the same amount of time that you could see one, maybe two patients, individuals, you can see a group of individuals, up to 10 or so individuals. And so, you know, the idea of there's only so many hours in a day, you can certainly, you know, use groups as a way to work with more people and try to help more people in any particular time frame.
So from the therapist's point of view, you can help more people in a shorter amount of time.
Right.
And that's a good thing. From the patient's point of view, a group automatically becomes a support group.
Right.
Okay. I think the title of this is You're Not Alone. Somewhere in the title we say You're Not Alone. Most of us are struggling. We talked yesterday, the existential approach of problems of daily living. Mm-hmm, you know, these are life problems. And most of us have these life problems. You know, not serious psychopathology, but problems of living. And a group lets you know that there are other people having similar struggles.
Right.
And so you immediately are relieved to know that you're not the only one struggling with this.
Right.
That's enormously helpful.
Right. And when we look at groups, maybe thinking about it across the developmental time span, we see that the approaches that are taken in groups vary appropriately by developmental level. So with kids, young kids, many of our group-based therapies are very behavioral.
Right.
You know, some of the ones that we think about are like social skills groups.
Right.
Social skills groups do a wonderful job of using ideas of modeling and role play and demonstration to help the participants learn specifically how to behave or how to act in certain circumstances.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they will use role playing to, you know, when we used to do social skills groups in schools, we would create a
situation,
you know, circumstance, and say, okay, this is the skill we're going to practice today.
Right.
And so when this happens, do this and make that connection, as we were talking about earlier this week, make that connection between this circumstance or this stimulus and this response, put those together and do so repeatedly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we see that much more at the younger, with younger people. As we get older, we can start getting into more of the cognitive models.
Right.
And so we have like, with older, maybe older kids, but certainly by teenage years, we start getting into like anger management, which is a very, the typical way that we do anger management is very cognitive behavioral. You know, you're looking at triggers, you're looking at those automatic thoughts, and you're looking at some of those kinds of perspectives to manage anger, you know, so you're really thinking about how you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether it's anger, anxiety, grief, certainly is another one that would be managed in much the same way.
Yeah.
Right. So the group develops around a particular topic, typically. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it could be anger management in younger children, social skills groups, mm-hmm. Grief, substance abuse.
Yes.
Groups are a very effective way of managing substance abuse mm-hmm. in individuals. It's part of their treatment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And again, these kinds of groups are a little bit, they are in part like a support group, but they're much more because you're really dealing with therapeutic issues.
That's right. And when we talk about group therapy, the group does the work.
Right.
It's not the therapist doing the work. Right. The therapist or therapists, because sometimes there's more than one therapist in the group, the therapist simply holds the group together. Mm-hmm. But it is not the therapist group. Mm-hmm. It's the group members group.
Right.
They own the group.
Right.
And the therapeutic work is done by the group, not by the therapist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's an important key to this is the group mm-hmm. does the work.
Right. Yeah. In a way, the therapist is sort of like a shepherd, just kind of keeping everything the way it's supposed to be, so that mm-hmm. there's not one person that's monopolizing everything or one person that's poisoning the group or anything like that, but just working. This is the idea. This is what we're going to talk about today. And then sort of giving it to them to really
work
and process.
And they have to police themselves too. Right. In other words, in the beginning, the therapist might draw the shy people. The therapist might draw them out a little mm-hmm. bit more, encourage them to participate. Or the therapist might shut down a person who's trying to take over the group. Mm-hmm. Okay. But eventually, the group has to take on those roles.
Right.
Okay. Then you know you have an effective group when it begins to, enforce its own procedures.
Right. Right. Yeah. And different groups will serve different purposes for their group members.
Right.
And they will, as they're policing themselves, and I guess what I'm trying to get to is group composition.
That's right.
The group composition is really important, because if you have, you know, five very extroverted, mm-hmm. you know, participants, and then you have one very introverted person, that's going to be a very difficult group for that introverted person.
Right.
That person is going to have a really difficult time. So it's up to the therapist to really make sure that the group composition is appropriate, mm-hmm. Or in the very least that the group leader, the therapist, is working to balance that as best as he or she can.
Right. And not everybody's going to fit in the group.
Right.
And you have to be willing to take people out, mm-hmm. okay, because the group is not going to work for everybody.
Right.
And it's better to remove, mm-hmm. we call them toxic, if they're toxic to the group.
To the group.
That interferes with the group, whether it's people arriving late, people trying to leave early, people using their cell phones, a person who's trying to take over the group, a person who's not participating sufficiently, anything that interferes with the functioning of the group, with the important therapeutic work that the group has to do, has to be taken out, has to be dealt with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in addition to support, mm-hmm. You also have what a group does is it brings multiple perspectives to the problem. Okay,
right.
So you can sit in therapy with a client or patient and mm-hmm. a therapist, but if you get four or five other people talking about the same thing, mm-hmm. everybody's bringing their perspectives and can say, "Hey, I tried this." That's particularly useful with substance abuse, mm-hmm. where you know we're all struggling with abstinence, for example.
Right.
And somebody can say, "Hey, I had the same problem. This is what I did, and it worked really well for me." Or, "I was able to go here and talk to this person, and it was really helpful for me." And so you get those multiple perspectives, and that's the group doing its work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's great to be able to see that happening, mm-hmm. because we don't always see it happening. It's great to see be able to see it happening. Mm-hmm. The other piece to it, I think, when it comes to sort of some expectations of the group, is much like we've talked about the importance of the rapport between the patient and the therapist, the rapport and trust between group members is also really mm-hmm. important, because mm-hmm. You know, when a patient comes in, or when you go in to talk with a therapist, that's confidential. You know, right. the privacy is there. Well, now when you go in with a group, the likelihood is that you're going to share and yeah. need to share really personal mm-hmm. things and private things. And there has to be some level of trust that information, what is talked about in that group, is contained within that group and is not shared right. outside.
That's right.
Some people have a really difficult time, especially people who have trust issues and things like that, have a really difficult time with that.
That's right. And this whole issue of self-disclosure mm-hmm. and honesty needs to be carefully considered, because you're going to be asking people to be honest and open.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the group works, by right. people being honest. But you also have to realize that while you can make an agreement that whatever is discussed in the group will stay in the group, there's no guarantee that it will.
Right.
And so there is some discretion
right.
that you may want to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you want to be as honest and open and candid as possible,
right.
because that's what gives the group,
right.
Makes the group the most effective, is
right.
that people are being honest with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so it's important. That's something that the group leader or the therapist has to really work hard with,
right.
is to make sure that the amount and level of trust in the group is maintained.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if there is somebody, you know, this is, you know, I think back to like school-based mm-hmm. groups, and you know, these people know each other outside
right.
of the group. They mm-hmm. interact with each other outside of the group. They have, you know, maybe even conflicting relationships outside
right.
of the group. And then mm-hmm. if things from within the group are being used
right.
Maliciously outside of the group, then that right. can be really, really problematic. And so it has to be monitored.
Right. One of the rules that I find both interesting and difficult is that you do not attempt group work outside the group.
Right.
Right. You don't have the group on a Tuesday night from 6 to 7:30, and then two or three members go to Starbucks
right.
after the group meeting
right.
to discuss what happened.
Right.
You only do group work in the group setting.
Right.
And if you do start to do some therapy, one of the obligations as a group member is to bring that back to the group and say, hey, we met privately and discuss
right.
this, and so we want
yeah.
to share this with the group.
Yeah.
So if you do slip and you do try to do group work outside the group, it's your obligation to bring it back to the group and process
mm-hmm.
it there.
Yeah.
So there are rules. Being in a group is not a simple thing of just sitting around and discussing something.
Yeah.
It's highly structured, highly organized, and very strict boundaries have to be set.
Absolutely.
And maintained.
Absolutely.
So it's not just going in and talking about it. There was a TV show with Bob Newhart years ago. And he did groups. And people tend to think that's how groups operate. It's much more highly structured than that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was before your birth, but
it's okay. It's all right. So, yeah. Anything else about groups?
Not after that.
Groups are a great way to work on
particular problems
when the circumstances are right.
You know, one of the groups that I would really like to have here. Divorce,
yeah.
for example, especially fathers of divorce, because it's a real shock. The reality of taking care of children yourself can be a real problem for some men. And if you were able to get a group of fathers together,
mm-hmm.
Or raising teenagers,
mm-hmm.
you know, imagine if you could
right.
sit and talk to parents about how do we raise right. raising teenagers
right.
is a struggle. So, and to get that group think
mm-hmm.
going, and to get those diverse opinions and to share
yeah.
solutions is such a rich way of doing it. So there are certain topics that really lend themselves to group work.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Would love to do more here. So.
And we will.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's it. It was a good week.
All too quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it for this week. We will be back next week to talk about some other things. Who knows
what? It's October. Is it October?
Yes, it's October.
Wow.
Yeah. We still have to pick our movie of the month. We haven't done that yet. So maybe by the time this podcast airs, we will have picked that, and then we'll look at it and say, oh, he should have filmed that.
Oh, true. Okay.
All right.
Just had an idea.
See? We'll post it if we get the idea.
But,
of course, if we get the idea, we will have posted the idea before
anger management.
Before we we even know Anger Management?
It's a movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, that movie. With Adam Sandler and with Jack Nicholson.
Wasn't there a group?
Yeah, they did a group.
Yeah.
It was fun. They're rubbing their ears.
Yeah, Goose Rubber.
Yeah. Right. So we'll talk about it. We're also looking to see about a Halloween-type movie.
Yeah.
Since it's October, but we'll see. That might be a good movie. That Anger Management's a good movie. So, mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
By the time you're watching this, we'll have already decided and we'll have announced it. So all this will be for nothing. But that's okay, because that's how we roll. All right. Until next time.
Okay.
Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.